It is early October 1859 in Boston, the center of abolitionist activity. The movement to end slavery is growing desperate. The outright abolishment of that particular institution is becoming more and more unlikely. No matter what is said, written, or done, the slave system seems unshakable, the very foundation of the Southern way of life. Then, old John Brown arrives in town, riding in from bleeding Kansas with a Bible in one pocket and a pistol in the other. He had come to Boston to lecture on the evils of slavery. Mr. Brown also came to solicit financial support for a rather vague plan he described as troubling Egypt. Those in his audience with religious inclinations knew that as a reference to the command that Moses go forth into Egypt to free God's people from bondage. The abolitionists of the city judged it a strikingly symbolic allegory. They are very intelligent and very well educated and very comfortable with symbolism. John Brown left Boston with the contributions and blessings from abolitionists who were vague as to the exact details of his future plans. However, Mr. Brown had struck them as a sincere and forthright gentleman with a genuine desire to do what he could to hasten the end of slavery. If his efforts got the righteous cause some notice, it would be all for the better. Over 400 miles to the south in Virginia, Mr. Brown's plan to trouble Egypt unfolded in a small town called Harper's Ferry. Harper's Ferry was a peaceful, small community nestled in the mountains of Virginia. If the town had any distinction at all, it was as a weapons manufacturer and storage depot for the United States military. This gave the citizens good, steady employment. While Harper's Ferry was in a slave state, it had only a few slaves in the general area. There was no great need for them. It was a shock, therefore, when the citizens of Harper's Ferry awoke one morning to a slave revolt on their very doorsteps. For 2 days, the battle raged, while the entire country watched in horror and disbelief. The Virginia State Militia was overwhelmed. The governor begged for federal troops to secure their arsenal before the slave revolt grew out of control, unleashing unthinkable horrors upon the good citizens of Harper's Ferry and beyond. There were countless rumors, and they could have all been true. For if a slave revolt could happen in a town like Harper's Ferry, it could happen anywhere.
You, sir, move back to safety at once.
Seem to have them rebels boxed in rather well, Colonel. Appears they're trapped in that engine house. Excellent work.
It is not over yet, sir. I can assure you of that. What are you doing out here?
I understand you are in command, Colonel Robert E. Lee of the United States Marine Corps. Just a few questions, sir.
I do not wish to be discourteous, but I am currently occupied with my professional duties.
I am as well. I'm William J. Evanston, Washington correspondent for the New Orleans Tribune. I got here as quickly as I could, but I seem to be here at the end of this affair. Is it true this was a slave uprising?
We have just arrived. We are still assessing the situation.
Colonel Lee.
Your report, Lieutenant Stewart.
Rode the entire length of the town, located the bodies of 5 rebels, no more than that. My guess is an equal number escaped. There has to be only a few in the engine house.
Are you saying this major threat to the state of Virginia numbered perhaps 20 men or so?
Only 20? How could they have held off the state militia for so long? Why the governor of Virginia need to call in federal troops to assist in this battle?
Lieutenant Stewart, hold up a white flag of truce. Inform them that if they put down their weapons and release their hostages, they will be allowed to surrender unharmed.
Yes, sir, Colonel Lee.